welcome into the Jetstream Podcast. Jonah Schwartz, Willie Colon. We can't see it. Can we see the shirt you're wearing here?
I got Golden Girls.
Girls, look at that. That's fantastic.
Blanche, Rose, Pearl.
There it is.
Yeah.
I love
the Golden Girls. We don't like the Golden
Everybody
Girls.
Loves the Golden Girls.
Yeah, I grew up on the Golden Girls.
Everybody loved the Jets this week.
That's true. Big win.
We will get to it all. And Daryl Slater from NJ.com also joins us when we go on the beat. Of course, you can listen to the Jetstream every week by subscribing to our podcast. Just search for the Jetstream in the iPhone podcast app or wherever you listen to your podcast. Please make sure to rate and review the show. It is good to have the real Willie Colon in.
That is I.
A week after the cardboard Willie took your place. And,
I heard
you know,
he was a bit of a diva.
He was. He didn't talk much. We didn't get much out of the cardboard, Willie.
Sunglasses will do it to you.
So let's begin with the bowled over or under, where we talk about where the coach is right now.
Yeah.
And by the way, leading into Sunday, the coach was in. People were really starting to wonder what was going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
They had a rough stretch, lost three in a row. There seemed to be a lack of discipline in terms of penalties, the same mistakes over and over again. But, boy, 34-16 against Denver, a total team effort, changed all that. You have to be bowled over this week.
I think it was huge. I think in particular the two people who usually the culprits with penalties actually were, you know, bust screen left the game.
Yeah.
May Johnson didn't play. So that's how it usually worked out.
Caught a break.
He caught a break. But overall, I think Bowles has been able – If you used to kind of right now, if you used to do, I guess, a progress report where he's at, he's 50-50. And I mean that a lot of people love him, a lot of people hate him. But for him personally, I think he keeps it straight down the line. And you are, Jonas, not of a fan of it. You like the emotions. You would prefer some type of window into the man's soul. And he'd rather show that behind closed
doors. No. You see, now I don't know. What I believe and what you and I talk about a lot is this. I think it's fine so long as he wins. But I just tried to explain to you that the fan base is never going to – the fan base liked Rex because Rex gave him a show. If you're not winning and you don't get a show, the fan base doesn't understand that people are different behind closed doors.
Right.
You have told me how different
Todd
Bowles is.
Yeah.
Right. So they just see him really giving non-answer answers.
Very stoic.
Right.
Yeah.
And not saying anything, and they get frustrated with him, especially after losses. You know what I thought was the key for him? A couple of things that were really big.
Okay.
Limited the penalties. Casey Rogers, had illness, what they're terming a serious illness. We still don't know what it is. That happened very late in the week where he was not going to be available to call the defensive signals on Sunday. Todd Bowles takes that over and gets the best defensive performance out of his team this year at a time that, because that's what was so troubling the week before against Jacksonville. Everybody gets the ups and downs of the offense with Sam Darnold. The fact the defense had looked so poor,
yeah,
and that's Todd Bowles' thing, and these guys are here, and now he got him, and he got him playing great on Sunday.
Yeah, but I think it was the one game. I think Miami, they didn't do well as well. And then, you know, Jacksonville, they didn't play particularly well on defense either. But I go back to Detroit and Cleveland. I mean, they were firing all cylinders. And then I think in Cleveland.
Early in Cleveland.
And then they just kind of ran out of gas, and, you know, they let the 14 point lead slip away. I think Bowles has done a great job of really staying level-headed.
Yes.
If we was to kind of look into our neighbors across the street in the New York Giants, Pat Schumer looks like he's on fire.
Yes, he does.
I'm being honest. He looks like he has no idea, how do I now look at my aging quarterback,
right,
keep him happy?
Right.
How do I look at OBJ and shut him up?
Right.
And how do I get this team to flat-out win?
Right.
Todd Bowles is not having those issues.
Right.
So for me, to look at what he's been able to endure from starting, and whether you're going to start Sam Darnold, is it the right thing to start?
Right.
What's going to happen with Leonard Williams?
When
is he going to show up?
By the way, greatest game
of the year. One of the best games he's had of the year. So he's been able to kind of take his body blows and still stand up. That's a coach you want in this city, because you know what the media brings to the table. You know what's the demand, and particularly the team who hasn't been to the playoff 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
He's been able to rally, change the culture, and stay the course. Everybody know about the Joe Beningos and the Greenies and all these guys who constantly take their shots at him, and particularly the Jets organization. But he stands tall. He does it. He keeps his team with their eyes on the prize. And it's not easy winning an NFL.
Right.
And he's doing it with a young quarterback.
Well, those guys are just fans who want to see the team win.
Right, and I get that. But at the end of the day, I know other coaches would respond.
Right, right.
He continues not to.
Well, the level-headedness really came into play. The Jacksonville loss was so bad. And then Isaiah Crowell gets that endorsement for the dude wipes. Now, by the way, you know I was against that endorsement.
Yeah.
I just want to say, after I saw Isaiah Crowell run the ball, I have begun to use dude wipes. We've replaced all the baby wipes in my house. It is only a dude wipe house.
Yes.
Because if you can run the ball like that using the dude wipes, we all use the dude wipes.
I think he should have a billboard in Times Square.
The Jets locker room should only have dude wipes.
No question.
So Bowles didn't like it. It didn't make Bowles look good. Bowles has admitted, I didn't love that they used the endorsement off of something I told him to stop doing.
Yes.
It was born out of, obviously, the celebration in Cleveland that got the Jets a penalty. But Bowles being level-headed allowed the Jets, and for all the criticisms people have of Bowles, and there's some merit to some, it allowed his level-headedness allowed them to come off a terrible loss to Jacksonville, bounce back the right way, and allowed him to deal and get the best game out of Crowell when all of that was going on. Because to your point, when there's, and you know this better than me because you've been in the situation, but in any work situation, when there's craziness and your leader looks rattled by the craziness, it only leads to more.
Well, it leads to more, then it leads to other people kind of going rogue and doing their own thing, saying what they want.
Right.
Instead of really protecting the culture and the brand and what you play for. I am a fan of Bowles because I think he doesn't falter in what he wants this team to look like. And sometimes people scoff at his decision making.
Right.
They scoff at his lack of ability to be transparent when they want him to. But I think deep down inside, the man knows what this team is capable of. Now, like every great coach, how do I get the world to see it?
Right.
And I think the fact that you do have a Jamal Adams and a Marcus May and this young defense and an offensive line who I was on record of saying didn't trust each other. They weren't playing like a veteran outfit who should be carrying his team on the offensive side of the ball.
Right.
Haven't talked to a lot of guys. They agreed with me.
Right.
Because they know I've been in the trenches long enough to know what things you should be doing.
And you say when you talk to the guys, you mean the guys on the offensive line?
The guys on the offensive line. I mean, I talked to enough guys. I was like, listen, you guys are playing like you don't trust each other. Things that should be elementary, you guys are making it seem like calculus. That's ridiculous. There's not one rookie on this line.
Yeah.
This is a line who's been through enough wars, in particular last year. Carb has a Super Bowl. Brian Winters has played a lot of ball. Kevin Beachman has played a lot of ball. Shell has played enough ball where you can't give him an excuse anymore.
Right.
So you guys got to step up.
It was funny because I went out there last Thursday to Florham Park and I saw Kelvin Beachum and I greeted him with, hey, Willie Colon says hello. He goes, oh, I hear from Willie plenty. So that's, it shows you how you guys are in communication.
But these are guys who I know care.
Right.
And that's why a lot of people was like, because we do the pre and post. And people was like, oh, you're kind of hard on the offensive line, da-da-da-da. I'm hard on them because I was in practice with these guys. I've trained with these guys.
You know what they're capable of.
I know what they're capable of. And finally Sunday, we saw what they were capable
of. No question. Let's get to Season of Sam, our weekly overhype analysis and crazy conclusions about Sam Darnold. Once again, we always play Namath, Nagel, or something in between. Where do you have Sam Darnold this
week? I think
week?
You got to go first.
Namath. Can I tell you the funniest thing, and I said this to you Sunday, we're watching the game.
Yeah.
The funniest thing to me is in the run-up to the draft, everybody talked about, you heard the scouting report, even those who loved Sam Darnold, was all about how he could make things work off schedule and improvise in the pocket and use his legs in the pocket to make throws. And that his arm was good enough, but his arm wasn't the thing. You watch him throw these deep balls, he's got a great arm. I don't know what everybody was talking about.
Well, I think was
a great arm.
No, he has a solid arm, but I think what really hit home, and I think, I don't know if it was Bart or Ray that said it on the post game, it was the timing. It wasn't so much the throw, it's the fact that he said it in the post game. He goes, for me, it wasn't just about I could sling it downfield, Robbie can go get it. The timing was there because every receiver is different. Robbie and Quincy aren't the same receiver.
Right.
Kirsten and Quincy aren't the same receiver. Right. But it's important for Sam to know who he's throwing the ball to, and when to get it off, or when to put air underneath it, or when to kind of, like, every guy needs the ball differently. So this is the growing pains that young quarterbacks have to go through, and it doesn't happen overnight. It's not going to happen in a training camp.
Right.
And people refuse to acknowledge that. Well, listen, it takes time. Chemistry does not happen overnight.
Well, I thought what was really crucial for this week was the week before against Jacksonville was the first time where he felt pressure where there wasn't necessarily pressure.
Yeah,
the ghost.
Sure.
He looked a little rattled to people. Yep. And for him
what
to
was
bounce,
him trying to make a play?
Right.
Yes.
Right. And for him to bounce back with Von Miller on the other side and Chubb and Wolf
Derek
and all
Wolf,
those guys and Pico and all this, for him to do all that was very impressive. And again, he had missed just slightly on a couple of those long passes the week before. Bilal Powell, Robbie Anderson, mm-hmm. for him to hit on them the way he did. And look, he was 10. He didn't have his best statistical game, 10 of 22, 198 yards. But it goes to show you how big plays change games and how the Jets have not had a quarterback, and I mean this, since Brett Favre was here for that year, who could throw a deep ball like
yeah.
that. Mark Sanchez didn't do it.
No.
Geno Smith had a great arm, but he didn't have a feel for the game.
No, at all.
You certainly know.
Yeah,
you
trust know about me, that. I know. Yes.
I like how you throw a little mustard on that
yeah.
one. So I think it was just so important for Darnold to take this step, and I think some of it was – he was more patient. Dan Orlovsky, on this podcast last mm-hmm. week, Willie, said toughest thing you teach a quarterback is patience, how to yeah. hang in there for that extra second to make the throw. And he did it with Robbie. And I think this is something he can grow off of and continue going forward here.
I mean, to your point, we all watched Drew Brees last night. I mean, I was at the Yankee games, but I saw the highlight.
Yes.
But Drew, if you look at who Drew Brees is, probably, I don't want to say undersized quarterback, but not a very tall quarterback. He knows I got to sit in there. I know I got the wave of hell coming at me.
Right.
But if I just sit in here, wait for a window to open up and deliver football, it's going to lead to a big play, and it's going to lead to taking the air out of defense. What happened Sunday was they were able – Isaiah Crowell in the offensive line was really able to be physical and efficient up front, which led more people in the box, which led to one-on-one coverage outside. Robbie, one-on-one with any cornerback in this league, he's going to get a couple of them. He's going to win a couple of them because this kid just has that type of speed. The issue what you worry about now is, can Sam deliver the same type of efficiency but also get other guys involved?
Yeah.
That's going to be key for Sunday.
Right. Quincy Enunwa was not particularly yes. involved last week. Kirst is still trying to get more involved.
Terrell had a touchdown.
Right. Finally.
Finally showed up. Yeah.
No question about that. All right, let's go. We got the beat. Darryl Slater does a great job for NJ.com covering the Jets on a day in, day out basis. He's nice enough to join us on the Jetstream podcast. Darryl, Jonas, and Willie, thanks so much for joining us.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me on.
Let's just start with how important we've talked about it. I'm just curious what you thought in terms of keeping that locker room together, which it always has been. How important was last week for Todd Bowles and this team this season in general?
Very important. Certainly a trying week. I mean, just first of all, personally for Todd Bowles, I mean, Casey Rogers is one of his closest friends, the guy he's worked with for 11 years over the course of three different teams, including the Jets. And for him to be dealing with a serious health issue that, that was difficult for Todd Bowles. And then from an X's and O's standpoint, he had to come out and call the defense and did a nice job in that regard. And then keep together a room of guys who had lost three straight games after looking so excellent in week one. So a really good coaching job by Todd Bowles in multiple respects last week for him to get that type of result from that team.
Keeping it stayed on the defensive side, Leonard Williams had a great game Sunday. But I think a large part of that is because of what type of attention Henry Anderson is now bringing. Talk about Henry Anderson and his emergence amongst the D-line.
Yeah, well, I think it's a real big surprise. You know, I mean, they traded a seventh-round pick for this guy, and he hadn't done a whole lot in Indianapolis, but he was hurt. He couldn't quite stay healthy, so the question with him was, what could he do when he was healthy? And as a situational pass rusher, he had done some nice things in these first few games, which we always wondered coming into this year, who would free up Leonard Williams for opportunities? Because if no one was going to free him up, he's going to have a tough time getting sacks. And he was freed up, and he got back there three times on Sunday, had two split sacks and the one solo sack. So maybe something for him to build on going forward.
How important also for the defense in terms of, you know, our buddy Bart Scott always managed to get into the thick of things. and so he told Jamal Adams, why don't you start having some meetings on Friday? They did. Do you think that had a big effect? I mean, it certainly looked like a different defensive unit in the game, Darryl, but do you think that had a big effect on how that defense performed on Sunday, the fact that they met on Friday?
Yeah, the players said it did, and the one thing that they wanted to focus on in that meeting in particular was communication. And Darren Lee mentioned after the game that the communication in Jacksonville was as bad as it's been since he's been there. And it showed because they gave up 500 yards, and it was they emphasized it more this week than they have in quite some time, and they did that extra meeting on Friday for to have all the defensive players be together so they could go over their communication with the linebackers, the defensive linemen, and the secondary, all talking out loud rather than having it be in separate groups, but just so they could hear each other and understand what each position group is going through in terms of their communication so they could sort of function as a whole rather than as different groups. And, yeah, I think it paid off in a big way. I mean, they shut down a Broncos rushing game that was pretty good. They had some issues in coverage a little bit, but for the most part, it was a strong defensive performance. And like I said, Todd Bowles put those guys in good positions in what was a tough day for him personally, for sure, and professionally with having to come back and call a game. He's done it before, but Casey Rogers has been doing it for a little while now.
Jeremy Bates is the new OC. He's dealing with a young quarterback in Sam Darnold. It seems Sunday that he finally kind of let the handcuffs off the young man and let him sling it downfield. Do you expect this to kind of be a habit, a trend? Because now we have receivers that seem to be getting healthy, and it seems like an offense that could really come alive when they have an opportunity.
You know, as you know, Will, it starts up front, and these guys answer the bell, this offensive line did, against, I mean, you would have a better idea than me about how good Von Miller is in the grand scheme of things, but, you know, he's as good as it gets in terms of guys rushing the passer today, and the Jets really rendered him a non-factor in this game. And big-time credit to those guys and Brandon Schell and Kelvin Beachum for keeping Sam Darnold mostly clean in the pocket. That was so huge for him to have an opportunity to stand back there and throw. And on the 76-yard touchdown pass, yeah, the pocket was closing a little bit, but it was a mostly clean pocket, and he did a nice job of keeping his feet steady and under him. And that's one thing he mentioned Sam Darnold did on Monday. He thought his feet were quieter, not having those happy feet in the pocket that can be such a major issue for a young quarterback. He liked how his feet were a good foundation under him under some of those throws. I mean, you talk about that 35-yard throw he had to Anderson. That's a big-time pass. That's a really big-time pass. So, yeah, I think that Jeremy Bates would love to continue that if, as you mentioned before I hopped on here, if their offensive line and their running backs can continue to keep defenses off balance. If they're not able to do that, you're going to see what happened in Jacksonville, where they weren't able to get a running game going. They had to play from behind. And that's not really advantageous for any quarterback, and especially a young guy.
All right. Now we turn to, and we'll bring the subject back up in a few minutes after we're done with Darryl with Jonas's Fear of the Week. but it's a fear I'd like to talk about with Darryl, because it's something that if you've watched the Jets closely,
yeah,
it's happened all the time.
Yep.
So Darryl, every time the Jets have a great performance and they have a little bit of prosperity and you feel like they're finally starting to build momentum and things are turning their way, they lay an egg, at least for a good quarter and a half.
Yeah.
And they might scramble back in the game, but they lose anyway. And now they face a Colts team that I know has some talent, but boy, are they beatable, especially at home. And the Jets have a chance to string some wins together. Do the players recognize how poor they've been handling prosperity and stringing wins together, Darryl? And is there anything that you feel like they're going to do this week to correct that issue?
Yeah, no doubt they recognize it. I mean, they would have to be blind not to see that flaw within this team right now. I mean, most immediately they lost three straight games after looking so fantastic in Week 1 against the Lions. But even think back to last year, Week 13, they looked really good against the Chiefs at home. They lost their last four games of the year. Week 9, they beat the Bills at home. They go down to Tampa, and they were a disaster. And then after that Chiefs game was the game they got shut out in Denver. So they haven't just been losing after winning these games. They've been, like, falling on their faces. I mean, to fall behind 20-0 in the home opener against the Dolphins was such a gut punch for a team that look like it was, you know, really riding high after Week 1 in Detroit. So, yeah, certainly Darren Lee mentioned it after the game about the Jets are really tired of being on this roller coaster, and he actually mentioned they let their guard down after Week 1, and I think that's only natural, especially for a young team, to sort of not be able to handle prosperity with the steadiness that you'd like. And I think they recognize that. And I think that maybe this week, and especially being at home, they'll at back-to-back home games, they'll have maybe a better feel for how to handle that. They were coming off the road. I think back-to-back home games, and like you said, against a beatable team, should give them a better shot of actually finally stringing together a couple wins here.
Last one for me. It's always important to kind of put you guys on the spot. Have you been watching the pre and post game?
I can't watch the post game. I'm writing after the game.
Okay.
Well, that's no excuse, Darryl. We got DVRs, you know.
No, we are aware that some of your fellow colleagues watch the show, so we want to see if we can get a grade or it's not, you know, kind of an overall feel of how are we doing since you judge the Jets, you figure you might as well judge all of the Jets.
Judge us as well?
Yes.
Just be kind, Daryl.
Well, you know, look, I mean, you're an expert. I've known you for a little while now,
yes.
So you know what you're talking about. So I don't know. I can't speak for some of the other guys on SMY, but, you know. I'll DVR it this week and let you know.
Okay, good.
Please, don't be afraid to tell me how well I quarterback it, Daryl. Listen, thank you so much for giving us a few minutes. Again, you do a great job covering the Jets, and we'll speak to you down the road.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me, guys.
Great job, Daryl.
Daryl Slater from NJ.com. We'll go back to my fear of the week in just a second, but let's go to what we've done, our unsung goats the last few weeks, because the Jets have lost.
Mm-hmm.
By goats, we don't mean greatest of all time. We mean
facts.
Goats. So let's do unsung hero. Who is your unsung hero of the big win over Denver on Sunday?
I'm going to go tight end, Eric Tomlinson.
Good one.
I thought we talked about the ability to neutralize Von Miller and Chubb. Well, a lot of that happened when they went max protect, the fact that Tomlinson was able to kind of really be a bumper for the both tackles. And on the flip side of that, he was able to kind of spring along a lot of drives that may have been stagnant with little dump passes from Darnold. That is going to be a great weapon for Darnold when the big play doesn't happen downfield. If he can't find Quincy, who his number one target is, that he can look to a 6'6 tight end and say, hey, I don't need you to give me 10. Just give me 3 or 4 so we can get closer and keep the chains moving.
I'm going to go with Andre Roberts, who did another good job with special teams.
Yeah, sure. Yes, he did.
Special teams hadn't stood out in that way in the return game for a couple of weeks. He did such a good job in Detroit. And he brings an element to the Jets that we haven't seen in years.
They need it.
Yeah. I mean, in years.
Yep.
So, I mean, you might have to go back to
Brad Smith,
Chad Morton before him. Yep. It's been a long time, and there's actually a great history of Jets, you know, really dynamic Jets returners going all the way back to Bruce Harper and JoJo Townsell. I haven't seen it in a long time. Yep. So there you go. Yeah, let's get back to my fear of the week. And I want to talk about, you know, some of the things Daryl just said to us. How Darren Lee said after that Detroit win that they let their guard down.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah, how does that happen?
I don't know.
How does that get corrected?
I hate that he even said that. Because that's why you look at Bowles and be like, how does this defense feel?
That's the criticism of Todd Bowles. Right.
I do know for a fact that when you come off, when you go down to Jacksonville in particular, it's hot down there. Guys are they're not in the best Florida shape, if you will.
Yeah.
People assume a lot of athletes are in tip-top shape. Guys usually get a shape in training camp, and through endurance and this kind of osmosis, guys get in football shape. Because they always say, you know, listen, you only get in shape by playing football.
Right.
So I think they were a little out of shape. I think they ran into an outfit who was physical, who was hungry, who smelled blood, looking at a Sam Darnold, and things got away from him. But I do say this going forward, that for this defense to be what they need to be, they have to start faster. I thought they tackled well.
Yes.
But they have to start faster, and they're going to have to start and credit Henry Anderson and Leonard Williams, but they're going to really have to find some type of better play out of Jordan Jenkins.
Yeah.
He makes me go to sleep out there, and because I really lock into seeing Steve McClendon, Henry, and Big Cat.
You enjoy how he bull rushes right into the tackle.
You have to now.
You bring it up all the time.
Yeah,
yes.
You cannot. This is the NFL. Yeah. Tackles are big. They're athletic. You're not running through them. Build an arsenal, young man, please.
Well, so to all of these points, and you made great points right there, you know, to me and from a fan's perspective, there is nothing more inexcusable than a team not coming ready to play.
Yeah.
Paid millions of dollars to do this.
Sure.
Fans are into it. I understand it's a job to players, although I know they love the game as well. Nobody understands that. The Jets, and you said the defense has to come out fast. So does the offense. Bilal Powell can't fumble early, and you know I love Bilal Powell.
Amen.
But the whole team has to come out fast.
That can't happen.
Right. And so, you know, I just think it's the toughest part of Todd Bowles' reign to wrap your head around.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes the defensive struggles as well, but the fact that this team seems to get full of itself when they have not accomplished anything is one of the more frustrating things when you watch the Jets.
Sunday's going to be a big tell to where this team is at from a maturation standpoint.
Yes.
Like we mentioned, they come off Detroit, three-game losing streak. You say, well, how can that happen? Now here we are. You beat the Denver Broncos at home.
Show us you learned.
Right. Show us that you get it. Because this is an outfit you should beat up on just like you beat the Broncos on. So you know, I don't know. I just, I've been in those situations. I've scratched my head at times myself as to why aren't we playing as well. But this also falls on the OCs. Because if you're Jeremy Bates, don't call trick plays. Call your bread and butters. Get the chains moving.
Right.
If you're on defense, be aggressive early. Take your shots. Start. Get the guys going early. So this is not just Todd Bowles. Two offensive coordinators got to understand what time it is.
No question. Listen, Todd Bowles did an excellent job this past week, and he needed it. He needed it off that three game, getting his defense back, playing fast, and getting the effort he got. The next step for Todd Bowles is showing not only the growth from a young team, but him as a coach and how his whole unit handles prosperity.
What's the biggest difference you saw from the defense between him and Casey Rogers?
I thought they set up Leonard Williams better to get stuff done.
Okay.
And maybe that seems elementary, but they ran. It just looked to me like they ran stunts to free up Leonard, as opposed to Leonard taking up blockers so Henry Anderson could.
They
get
seem to be, and we talked about this in the post game. They seem to be more conservative in situational football. In situational times during the game that really was able to help them out.
Yes. And the blitzes, by the way, popped at you more because they weren't doing it every play.
Right, exactly. They seemed to have a lot more controlled game plan than I think I've seen in the past.
Right. And maybe some of that had to do with Tremaine Johnson
being out, and
Buster Skrine going out with the concussion. But the fact that I agree with you, the mixture of blitzes as opposed to blitzing every play, an offense catches on and then and the whole defense is exhausted by the third quarter. It really, picking his spots really made a big difference, and it sprung Leonard Williams.
Yeah, he was able to get off.
A couple of times. All right, here's our – let's look ahead to Sunday's game for a second. And what is your prediction? Now, by the way, they are honoring the Super Bowl III championship team because, of course, they beat the Colts in that game. It is the 50th anniversary, and, of course, the Jets have not won the Super Bowl since then. I am 43 years old. I have never seen it. I'd like to see it. I've never seen it.
Maybe two glasses of wine when the Jets win that Super Bowl.
I might go for three. How's that? I might live life on the edge. And I might actually stay up.
I'll stay
up past 11.
Right.
And be like, I'm going to
Vegas. You haven't won in 40 years, but it's all right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's all right. So, I mean, what do you think for Sunday in a game they have – if they want to do something this year – and Todd Bowles wants to keep things rolling. They got to win this game.
They got to win this game. They not only got to win this game, but they have to act like they've learned from the lessons. I mean, we talked about the fact that they did a good job in the penalty department Sunday, the fact that they was able to run the ball, the fact that Sam finally, like, we got the kid that can really let it go downfield, and we got receivers, Robbie. So I don't want you to be the continuation from Sunday. I just want you to seem like you have a grasp on what you need to do to win. And that's a different. You know what I mean? Like, if Robbie has two big touchdowns, if he doesn't, I'm okay with it. But if you're running the ball, you're protecting, there's no penalties, and you're efficient in what you should do, that's a sign of a team that's growing.
Right.
Big plays are going to happen. Sometimes big plays aren't going to happen. But at least you're doing what's necessary to win. That's what I want to see.
If Robbie is drawing a safety, you know, in double coverage, and it's freeing up Quincy Enunwa,
which he will. They're not going to let have him single man no more.
Or curse underneath.
Yeah.
All the better. And it's a good way to react. So I'm going to go. I think the Jets are winning this game. And by the way, I got a tweet from someone this week who said, can you pick against the Jets? Because then I've tried
Jonas
that before,
the Jinx.
Too. I've tried that before.
We've tried everything.
I have.
Yeah, we've tried everything.
We all have. I'm going to go Jets win this one 27-14.
I got Jets winning, and I'm going 21-10.
All right. Now you're making me think I picked too many points.
No.
I know.
That's who you picked.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you.
I'll stick with it. Yeah. My man of conviction. I'm already backing off of it. Well, we'll see how it plays out Sunday, of course, to see Willie, Ray, Bart, and I on the Jets pre- and post-game show and at halftime. On Sunday, our thanks to Daryl Slater, NJ.com, for joining us as well. Remember, subscribe to the podcast. We are here every week. Just search for the Jetstream in the iPhone podcast app. Wherever you listen to your podcast, please make sure to rate and review the show. We will see you next week.
Shut up.